Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And remember my promise last week? I said it will never be this cold again.
And you were right. Exactly. 70 degrees since. It's like magic.
It is like magic. We have a lot to look forward to in Atlanta. Just it's going to be beautiful from here on
this
out.
This is it. No more cold weather, as per Amy.
Exactly.
Any complaints, call Amy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Any complaints, call Amy. Mm-hmm. But if you have financial concerns, you need to listen to our show today, right?
Absolutely.
Who doesn't have financial concerns and who isn't thinking about their money, right? Well, we have some great guests this morning talking about money, talking about business in Atlanta. But first up, we have Danny Kofke, who's currently a special education teacher in Jackson County, Georgia. But yet he's wrote a book, a great book, called How to Survive and Perhaps Thrive on a Teacher's Salary. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Hey, Amy. Thanks for having me on.
So, Danny, you requested, you sent in a little request to be on the show, and I was very intrigued by your book and since have picked it up and have found a wealth of knowledge in it. Tell us how it came about.
Well, I even listened to Back Matter that according to a 2006 study done by the National Education Association, 50% of teachers quit within 5 years, and that's partially due to low salaries and poor working conditions. But yet, according to another social survey, 69% of teachers reported being very happy with their jobs, and teaching ranks among the top 10 most gratifying jobs. So, you know, as a school teacher, I see the joy I have every day going into the classroom and, you know, trying to make the world a better place. And I just wanted to show others, you know, other teachers that, you know, you can still do okay as a teacher if you live below your means and you plan ahead. And, you know, when I wrote the book, obviously the target audience was teachers, but now with the economy, you know, economy being the way it is, I think it can benefit, you know, most moderate income learners. And there's, you know, a lot of jobs out there that people do for the, you know, just the love of it, police officers, firefighters, nurses, that the money's okay, not great, you know, you can still do okay on it. But, you know, I just wanted to show them that there is a way you can still do well financially, even if you do earn a moderate income.
I thought some of your ways of earning an income and still living a desirable lifestyle were creative. You talked about teaching in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the ways you can creatively earn a salary and yet have a lifestyle as a teacher.
Well, you know, there are, you know, besides being a teacher, you know, we have summers off, obviously. So you could do, you know, get a summer job if you needed to, you know, supplement your income. There's after school programs for teachers that they can stay after school and teach kids. Tutor. I tutored a child one time and, you know, it earned some extra spending money. So there are opportunities out there to, you know, supplement your income as a teacher and, you know, almost for any job. And I'm not saying it's fun, but, you know, if you need some extra money, especially in today's times, I mean, you could deliver the newspaper for a while. You could deliver pizzas if you have to, you know, and we're not saying to do it forever. But if you need to find some extra money, there are ways that you can.
Is there a frustration amongst the teachers that you work with about how kind of the government price fixes the rate a teacher gets paid as opposed to other industries where it's, you know, you kind of make what you can make?
Well, I mean, you know, going into teaching, most teachers go into it. We know what we're going to make. And if you think you're going to make a lot of money, your college advisor lied to you because, you know, it isn't going to be. You know pretty much going in, you're not going to, you know, be a millionaire. You're not going to, you can be over time, but right when you start, no. So, I mean, some teachers do kind of complain about the pay, but you kind of know before you go into it.
It's not a bait and switch. You know going in that you're not going to get paid a lot.
Right. It's not like a promise. You're going to be making 100 grand your first year and then all of a sudden, no, you're only making 35. I mean, you kind of know going into it.
But is there a frustration level of knowing, like you see the person that's teaching tennis to your kid is making $70 an hour. And you're teaching that person's kid, and you're making $15 an hour.
Right, and it is. I mean, it's absolutely troubling. And you think of, you know, the greatest people in our country, the accomplishments that they have made, they wouldn't have been able to do it without a teacher, most of them.
Right.
So it is. I mean, from that standpoint, it definitely is frustrating. But, you know, if your heart's in the right place and you know that you're doing, you know, what you're supposed to be doing, that to me is priceless. You know, mm-hmm. if you know that you've helped a child, and if a child comes up to you or a parent, you know, writes you a note, thank you so much for what you've done, that in itself to me is worth $1 million. So, you know, you don't really need the materialistic things. And that's what helped, you know, as being a teacher, since I love my job so much and, you know, I love having my wife stay at home with my two daughters. I don't need, you know, the Lexus right now. I don't need the boat. I don't need the McMansion. I'm happy with what I'm doing. So, mm-hmm. you know, that I guess I'm fortunate in the fact that I am a teacher because I get such a, you know, the just value out of my job.
So it's more of a calling you feel.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, some of the stuff and, you know, the outside public probably doesn't understand and wouldn't, you know, how hard it is to be a teacher. And, you know, you hear a lot of times, well, you guys have off all summer, you guys have off this. But, you know, most of the time we are working in the summers. We're trying to better ourselves, make our teaching better. So it is a tough profession. So I definitely think the calling, you know, is kind of what leads most people into it.
What led you to write the book? Do you have a writing experience?
You know, I've never taken a financial class in my life, not a financial expert, but I have it figured out. 33 years old, just a special education teacher. And, you know, most people know a teacher, and I feel like they could relate to me. And that kind of is what, you know, I think makes my book, you know, what it is that, you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not going to necessarily, you know, tell you what stocks to invest in and stuff, but just figure out how you can do okay. And the reason I wrote it, I had, you know, my wife, Tracy, was a school teacher before becoming a stay-at-home mom. And a lot of my, you know, our colleagues said, you guys really have it figured out financially. You should write a book. And at the time, I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, didn't even think about it. And one weekend at that time, we had one daughter and Tracy and her were away. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to sit down and let's just start it. Let's see what happens. And, you know, over the course of a few months, I finished it, thought it was cool just to have my words on a piece of paper. And someone's like, you should submit it to a couple publishing companies. And, you know, it didn't hurt. So I did. And one of them accepted it, and I have a book. So, you know, it was, you know, I always dreamed, you know, as a little kid, I would like to write a book one day. I always thought, you know, it'd be the next Stephen King novel or something. But it's still cool right now to have a book out. So
it's close.
Yeah, there you go.
Has having this book opened up doors for you that, you know, kind of that you didn't anticipate?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a few speaking opportunities come up. I actually had an education company. They give workshops for teachers, like, you know, for instance, it's like, you know, teaching literacy to kindergartners. But they saw my topic, and they're like, that's a great topic for teachers, but really haven't, you know, gotten anything out of that right now because of the budget cuts that counties are facing. And, you know, us, you know, teachers, I know myself, I can't really go to any workshops now and get reimbursed for it because there's just no money in the budget anymore for, you know, they're cutting teachers, cutting our field trips and everything. So maybe that'll take off in a couple of years when the economy, you know, comes back. But yeah, I mean, it definitely has opened some doors and, you know, who knows what will happen in the future with it too.
Excellent. That's exciting. We wish you all the best of luck. And how can people purchase the book?
It is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. I have a Blogspot page. It's www.DannyKofke, so DannyKofke as in Frank, KE.blogspot.com. And you can kind of see some of the things I've been on and a link to purchase my book.
Terrific. Any final thoughts, Lee?
No, it's we'll put the link up, make sure everybody gets a chance to see it.
Terrific. That's a great segue into our next guest because, as Danny said, he doesn't have any financial experience at all, but yet makes it on $40,000 a year. Just to let y'all know, I think that's a little rare. Maybe those that have read the book can do it. But those that haven't and those that need a little bit more expert advice and have different financial needs other than just a teacher or those that make $40,000 a year, we'd like to welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show Arthur Benz from Oxygen Financial. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
So I understand Oxygen Financial has over 30 years of experience in financial planning. Tell us about the company.
Yeah, you know, the company was launched almost a year ago now by two senior executives in the financial industry. Basically, what the idea behind the company is to create a new financial service company that is truly aligned with the you know, client in mind. We truly believe that a lot of the larger firms out there, while they do offer some good things, really are more focused on their bottom line versus the client. So we want to make sure that we created something that was truly integrated with our clients.
So I understand you say you're bringing Wall Street to Main Street. What does that mean?
Basically, we want to bring what any of the larger firms on Wall Street bring to their clients, you know, to our clients in the Alpharetta and Atlanta and around the country as well. So we made sure that the product offering we have is in line or and sometimes greater than what you can get at some of the larger name firms that are out there today.
Who is a potential client for you?
Truthfully, everyone that's out there. You know, one of the things that we did was, as a firm, we said we don't have any minimums. You know, if you look at a lot of the big companies out there now, from an asset management point of view, if you have less than $100,000, no one will talk to you. Mm-hmm. Well, the business that we came up with says, hey, listen, we want to help everyone because a lot of times the people who have less than $100,000 are the ones that really need the help.
Terrific. And those that have $40,000 and are teachers, they need to know how to invest their money,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have no minimums in mind. You know, we have clients that are just starting out. We have clients that are worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. So, you know, it ranges the gamut.
So when you talk about specializing in Gen X or Gen Y, what does that mean?
Well, you know, if you look out at the landscape right now, you see all the major companies are focused on one thing, and that's the baby boomers, mm-hmm. okay? You know, but they, of course, work with other people. Well, we decided to take a little bit of a different approach and say, listen, you know, no one's talking to the guys that are in their 20s or their 30s, really. So we said, you know what, let's make a focus as a company and target these guys and really help them create wealth. So that's what we did, not to say that we don't work with you know, the baby boomer generation, because we, of course, do. We just have a focus on the Gen X, Gen Y crowd.
And what are you finding as far as their investments and their knowledge of investing?
You know, realistically, a lot of people with the advent of the internet, everyone, there's a lot more information out there today, mm-hmm. good and bad.
Right.
Sometimes maybe there's too much information.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of an overload. But, you know, people are, I think they have more options and more opportunity out there to grab that information, and we, you know, we're just able to help them from the beginning to get started. I think that's one of the hardest things is actually getting started and knowing where to get put their money.
Now, when you're working with these clients that, you know, they go on the internet and they read some article or somebody on TV said
sure.
one thing, how do you kind of educate them to take that information in context and not, you know, just impulsively move?
Right. No, absolutely. That's a great question. You know, again, from the education standpoint, which is a really big part of what we do, we show them the reality of everything. So we say, listen, you know, anyone can post anything on the internet. We try to go back and really show facts and show things that are truthful and let them make an educated decision. But we try to get different information sources besides just the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you finding are the most common questions people are asking you today? I mean, obviously the economy stinks and people are concerned about their investments and their, you know, portfolios. What are some of the things that you're saying to put them at ease maybe?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things is some of our clients are, you know, how are we going to survive? How are we going to, you know, make it in this economy? And what we do is, let me define our role a little bit. This may help.
Yeah, absolutely.
We, you know, in the traditional sense, someone is a financial advisor, and that to us is actually a bad term. Because it is the most overused and probably misunderstood term out there today. What we do is we've actually carved out our niche and we call ourselves private CFOs, okay? What that means is we're actually half what we call financial gurus and then half consumer advocate. So when we have a client come in, we want to do a lot of education and explain to them what's going on out there to put them at ease. So we don't actually look at things just as, say, asset management. We look at everything because we believe that you, as the head of your household, is the CEO. So we approach it from a business perspective, mm-hmm. okay? So we say that you, as the CEO of your household, you have a lot of decisions to make, and we want to come in and be that private trusted CFO for you.
Great. So you're my private CFO.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Every family needs one of those.
Most definitely.
But then that means you're looking at it beyond just the my mutual funds. You're looking at my whole big picture of all of the things that are, like, so that could be my business, that could be my insurance, that could be all aspects of, you know, the finances of my world.
Absolutely. You hit it dead on. And just let me kind of define it just a little bit more real briefly. We actually have three roles. One is as your controller, okay? And the second one is as a treasurer. And then the final one is the strategist. So we combine all those different things, look at your income statement, your balance sheet, you know, if that includes a business.
So you're my accountant as well?
Well, we definitely don't call ourselves accountants, but we do take a look at your tax situation as well. And maybe we can offer some information in there that can help you with your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it, just so you understand, too, the way we align ourselves with our clients is everything that we do is for one fee. Okay, so if someone goes to another firm, they may charge a fee just for asset management only. But what we do is we charge that, you know, roughly the same fee for asset management, financial planning. We actually give our clients a single sign-on account aggregation site, which is very nice and very helpful. And we also give them something that no one else does, which is lifestyle services.
What are lifestyle services?
That's exactly. What we've done is aligned ourselves with a concierge company, national firm, and our clients certain times a year from 1 up to, say, 12 times a year can contact this number and get lifestyle services such as if you want a limo ride to and from the airport, if you want a massage, a private chef, anything like that to make your life easier or to breathe easier, which is our tagline,
mm-hmm.
that's what we do. And that comes out of our pocket. There's no extra cost for that. It's just what we do for our clients to make them feel better and to help them with their financial lives.
That's nice. What did you call that again?
It's lifestyle services. And we breathe easier. And again, I think that's a big thing. That's what we want to do for our clients.
I'm feeling better easier. Already.
Great. Absolutely.
Terrific. Now, how can people get in touch with you? If people have listened and they say, wow, this sounds intriguing, and the total asset management is very intriguing, how can people get in touch with you?
Two ways. I definitely recommend you check out our website, which is www.oxygenfinancial.net. And there's a great demo online as well that I would suggest people look at. Or you can call. I'll give you my direct line, which is area code 678-551-7945.
Arthur, any final thoughts for us?
Get ready. The market's going to be a little bit bumpy, but take a look at your whole picture. Just don't focus on your assets alone. Make sure that you're in line for
it's an opportunity now, isn't it?
It is. It's a great opportunity to get in line, and I recommend anyone out there listening come sit down with a private CFO.
Give us a little bit more of a pep talk. You're starting to get me. You're picking me up
today. It's exciting, right?
It is exciting. Okay. How is exciting? Because I know that I've heard a lot of college students talking about how their financial aid is being cut and things like that, and they're going to have to come back to Kennesaw State and
sure.
You know, things like that. How long will it take before it gets better? Any thoughts?
As far as the market goes, well.
Yeah, what's the date so I can know when to go back in?
He'll hold you to it.
Right. If I knew that, I would be an extremely wealthy man right now, and probably wouldn't be on the show. I'd be somewhere on the island relaxing.
You mean they don't ring a bell when the recession's over?
No. And let me give you guys a quick fact, and this is something a lot of people I don't think know. The longest recession in history was 16 months. And right now we are in the 14th month of our current recession. And I would tell you, I would suggest that we are probably going to see this current recession turn into the longest one in history. So is there a drop dead date? No. I think that we're trying to do some things that are, the right way, but there's a lot of data out there to digest, a lot of things in the market that need to happen first.
And it sounds like with your expertise, you're always on top of that and a wealth of knowledge to be able to share with folks so that they're properly informed. It was interesting that you said that people will look on the internet. And I think that in many ways, medically, from an insurance perspective, from a business perspective, people have become uninformed because there's so much information.
Sure.
It's hard to know what is really true.
Well, and that absolutely. And that's why we want to make sure we are independent. And, we not only have the Oxygen Financial, but we have Oxygen Financial Insurance, which focuses on health insurance, life insurance, disability, long-term care. But what we do, we come at it again from the consumer advocate approach, and we make sure that we inform our clients of what's out there and available for them.
Terrific. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
We hope people will reach out and check you out. We talk about going online and people being misinformed. Our next guest is somebody that definitely has it down when it comes to educating those in office settings, when it comes to office professionals, executives, administrative assistants, office managers, small business owners. There's one place to look if you need resources, and that's Office Arrow. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Robert Ball.
Thank you, Amy and Lee.
So, Robert, you're the Chief Executive Officer of Office Arrow, and it's fairly new. Walk us through what Office Arrow is.
Well, what we are is an online collaborative community for office professionals. So, as you said, executive assistants, secretaries, admins, office managers, and small business professionals who are having to do the administrative functions on their own. Administrative functions might mean getting the telephone system. It might mean arranging HR and payroll. Might mean buying office supplies, or it might mean arranging travel or getting yourself somewhere on the travel. But basically, I'm an ex-accountant, so I think of the G&A stack, or the general and administrative cost stack. So it's everything from legal to financial to office-related expenses. And it's a cost center, so you want to manage that. And we went out there and found that no one was providing a solution to help companies effectively manage that part of their business.
So the actual community are the people who are doing the administrative work, or is it the companies that hire the people that do the administrative work?
Well, it's really available to everybody. It's a combination of content that is supplied by expert writers and the members themselves. It's the collaborative community. It's the community of office professionals helping each other, which in these times is really important. So sometimes the best advice you get is from a colleague or a peer who's doing a similar job. And then we also provide tools and applications to let them then take action based on that. Arthur was talking about there's so much information on the internet that's unreliable. we're trying to build a trusted location where people can come and find the information they're looking for. And again, quite often that advice comes from people who are in the same situation they are.
Now, are the admins from typically like super large companies, or are they in smaller companies?
We really range all over the map, but our sweet spot, if you will, is the small to medium-sized business. But that's broadly defined, so anybody up to 500 to 1,000 employees. But I think what we find is the service really helps those most who are in anywhere from 2 people to 250 people.
And what's the kind of information that they share in the community?
You know, they share tips as to how to deal with different issues and get questions answered. So we have the whole setup is you can come on there and ask any question you want related to office or not, but most of them do. They may relate to productivity. They may relate to dealing with expenses. They may deal with how do you deal with coworkers and things of that nature. And then the community answers, but you also have articles. We put fresh articles up there every day, 3 to 5 new articles a day. And then people come in and comment on those articles and add their own aspects of what they're looking for. We get questions in the middle of the night. Sometimes that all they say is help. And someone is, in this economy, we get a question that somebody comes in and says, yesterday I was looking after 2 people in my office, and today I have 4 people that I'm the executive assistant for, and I'm the office manager. Mm-hmm. Or we get a question that says, I just launched a business, and I'm trying to figure out how to get certain things done. How do I arrange my travel? How do I find real estate space to lease, et cetera? And so they start to ask the questions. And, again, we supply experts there. But then the community steps in, and it's really a great way to see it come to bear.
So you just recently launched, but yet you have more than 130,000 members from every state and over 200 countries. That's amazing. How did you build it so quickly?
Well, again, I think when you find something that has a need, people find it. But we launched in May, last May, so we're about 9 months old. And we really started going out and leveraging the Internet because a lot of people who were looking for answers go online to Google, Yahoo, the other search engines, and they'll pose a question or they'll be searching for an answer. So we have some very skilled folks on the technology side who help lead them to us. Once they get to us, they find that they're getting their questions answered rather than just getting search results, and there's a big difference in those two things, and that the people that are answering the questions are like them. So they suddenly find a community, they join that community, and they start to leverage and hopefully start to contribute. We have actually a great number of people who are active in the community, both in terms of coming there often, but also contributing questions and starting discussions on their own.
Now, is this something where you have to pay to be a member?
Not presently, and we will always have a way where you can leverage the network free of charge. We have developed or are developing a number of tools and applications that we will charge for, but again, those are all under the guise of these are things of value that will save you money and make you more productive and save you time.
So I understand there's hundreds of templates and a lot of other things available. Those are available free of charge?
Most of the templates are available free of charge, and by templates, there are people come in, they need an invoice form to send an invoice out to a customer because they've just started their business. People need to write a resignation letter, or they need something related to an employee matter, so they're looking for something. Over time, we will have some premium templates where we've got some experts who come in, and perhaps somebody has developed a very good form for an employee manual. That's worth a lot of money, but they like the ability to distribute it online to an audience, so we will be offering some of those either a la carte or part of a subscription package.
Is there a way like virtual administrators can be involved in this to offer their services? Is there any like kind of a job board or job share or anything like that?
Well, we have there is a career section, but it's more in terms of helping you with your resume, helping you plot out your career. One of the things we've found is that office professionals, executive assistants, admins, they are professionals, and we have created an environment that treats them that way. So we're focused heavily on certification and training, things to help them with their career and help them treat it as a career. That said, people do come looking for jobs, and we will refer them off to people who do that for a living, like the job boards, but...
Right, but if I was looking for an admin, would there be a place like, hey, I'm looking for an admin in Wisconsin, you know, is there a place there that someone's like, hey, I'm looking too, you know?
I think you could certainly post the question. It's very open, so we would do that. We don't have, again, all the techniques set up like a Monster or a Yahoo Jobs or a Career Builder would have, but people certainly do that there.
I love the fact that you say it's where LinkedIn meets Wikipedia and Amazon. That's a pretty big statement, but it really does put it into perspective for me. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, a lot of people say, are you Facebook for business or are you LinkedIn for business? LinkedIn is a wonderful professional network that allows me to connect with people I know. Facebook is a social community where people hang out and socialize. We're a workplace and a productivity tool, so the average time people spend on our site is a fraction of what they would spend on Facebook, but that's okay. People are at work. They need to get in, get something done, and get out. So I take pride in the fact that our visits are brief but very effective. So when you put all those together, and then the Wikipedia aspect is, ours is really a collaborative community, meaning, again, this is not a place people just come hang out. They come and they ask questions and they get answers. And we are really hoping that the wisdom of the crowd, not to use an overused cliche, but it's true. If I come in there and I pose a question, we get a lot of very rich suggestions on how to deal with issues. And there is a true wisdom of the crowd, and it's amazing that it can come from around the world, all hours of the day and night.
Because people are really willing to share best practices. You know, you've got Danny sharing his best practices from a teaching perspective, and you have a lot of office professionals out there as well that I'm sure are willing to share when asked the question. So how is it in a blog format? How do folks ask these questions in the community?
Well, there are blog aspects to it, but the site's pretty clear that you can ask a question, start a discussion thread. Again, it's fairly open-ended, and we catalog everything, and everything is searchable. But the point you're making is very true. 85% of office managers, particularly in small to medium-sized businesses, are working alone. There's only one of them in the office. I bet everybody in here has one person in their office that does that. So it's not like the office manager of a doctor office can walk down and ask, Dr. Julie how to which phone system to pick. She may be a great surgeon, but she's not going to be an expert on phone service. So the office manager has to be an expert on phone service, then insurance and benefit plans, and then the list goes on. So the way to do it is to connect them with others like them who can offer some expertise and some advice. And then, again, accessing sponsor and expert content to help make those decisions. All we're trying to do is mimic online what you do in a normal setting offline. I look for some information, some content. I ask some friends or some trusted colleagues, so I get some advice and I collaborate. And then I want a tool or an application to go take action on what I'm doing and buy what I'm going to buy.
Has anything surprised you since you started this venture? Is there any information or the way that people interact that surprised you?
I think what's really surprised me is the speed with which we've grown. And also the fact that people are so willing to engage and jump in and help one another. I mean, that's a great statement on society in general, but it is amazing if you provide a portal or a destination for them and come in and you build the trust around that, then people will come in and talk to one another.
And how can people connect with your community and collaborate to enhance their productivity?
Well, the first stop is www.officearrow.com. Just like it sounds, the word office and the word arrow, ARROW.com.
That sounds pretty simple to me.
Simple.
Any final thoughts, Lee, because we're running out of time.
No, I know. Great show. I like these kind of shows where it's all individual business owners and they talk about their stories.
I do, too, and I hope that our listeners have found them interesting and will reach out to the various companies that we've had on and learn more about what they do. Robert, thank you so much for being with us today. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, I think that we are in some challenging times, and we're hopefully here. It sounds like everybody who talked today is here to really try and let's get together and figure this out and save some time, save some money, and we'll make it through it.
But I think everybody's optimistic, though.
Absolutely. I think we have a lot to look forward to. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. I'm Amy Otto for the Atlanta Business Radio Show, and we'll hear you, or you'll hear us again next week.